Glad to have this opportunity of coming into your family circle once again with a program based upon what the Bible teaches. Today we're beginning a series of broadcasts that we simply have entitled Timely Topics. And someone said to me some years ago, you know, there are timely topics for troubled times. So we put that entire caption in the heading of this series. So you keep in mind that we're going to be discussing those topics that are timely. And regardless of how troubled the times might be, they can be a benefit to each and every one of us. This broadcast is brought to you by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ, and we ask you to keep in contact with the congregation that brings you this broadcast. If you have questions or comments about the series, feel free to contact that congregation. They can pass the material on to us, and we'll be glad to answer any questions we possibly can. I'd like to begin this series by simply asking the question, what has or what hath God done? You know, when we look at the physical creation about us, we see that God has created those things for the benefit of man. I was reading some time ago from the outstanding account in Genesis that tells us about the 6 days of creation. And as I read that account, I was overwhelmed with the fact that God had man in mind all the time when he was creating the earth. The light was for the benefit of man. And certainly the great expansion that we know as space can not alone be a habitation for the planetary system and the things that are associated with the universe, but they can also be an outstanding picture of the greatness of God. Someone has said that undoubtedly space is the best physical example that we have of eternity. Well, God, of course, was the light, and he was actually there before the sun, moon, and stars are created, but he did create the light upon the first day, and naturally it was able to benefit man. David looked into the heavens, and he saw the handiwork of God, and he wrote in Psalms 19:1, a passage you probably remember so well, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork." So you see, when David looked up at the heavens, he undoubtedly was not thinking about whether a man was going to go on the moon, or whether a satellite would be shot up into space. This is no reflection on the space program, but it simply does indicate that when David looked at the heavens, he saw the glory of God, he saw the handiwork of God. Vegetation upon the third day, of course, was to benefit man, as well as the sun, moon, and stars on the fourth day. The fish of the sea and the fowl of the air on day five, and the beast of the field on day six. It would seem that God saved the greatest of all creations for the last. And in Genesis 2:7, we have that monumental statement that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. But let's keep this thought in mind as we think of the things that God had done in this life, that he had man in mind all the time. And he told us, of course, that there was an inner man and there was an outer man. And I believe Jesus underscored the whole thing in his personal ministry when he said, "What is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what could he give in exchange for his soul?" So as we talk about a timely topic for troubled times, and when we think of what God hath done, let's not stop with the physical creation of God. Let's realize that this can underscore the fact that there is a God. But the Bible itself tells us not alone about the physical aspect of man, but also about the spiritual. And we're aware of the fact that when man sinned in the garden, God did not give up on man, but gave him an opportunity to be redeemed. And I read that scripture, as we did on the broadcast some weeks ago, in Ephesians 1:7, which to me is an outstanding passage. It simply says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." And this would indicate that God was not going to spare anything for the benefit of man. So he sent his only begotten Son, and John 3:16 underscores this point, that it was God who so loved the world. And when you think about the degree of his love and the word "so," and when you think of the condition in the world at the time when he sent Jesus, you can see how deep the grace of God really is. The riches of his grace are brought to bear upon the fact that he gave his only begotten Son upon the cross. We're aware of the fact that not alone did he make it possible for man to realize the death of Jesus upon the cross, but he made it possible for this to be applied to the life of man. In Psalms 119 and 130, we have that wonderful statement, where the writer says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple." The Word of God has always been vital. It was back there in the beginning, for in Genesis 1 and 3, it was God who said, "Let there be light." And by the power of His Word, light became a physical reality. May I say on the broadcast today that by the power of God's Word, light also becomes beneficial to the spiritual part of man. When we think of the gospel being spoken of as the power of God unto salvation in Romans 1:16, we are led to believe that that brings to our mind in a very definite fashion the power of God's Word. It was placed this way by the Apostle Paul in his writing in Hebrews 4:12, that the Word of God is quick and powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's not alone able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is also able to do those things that go far beyond what man could expect in this life. So what does this mean when we begin to think about what God had done in a spiritual sense? Well, His Son was sent. His Son died upon the cross. The blood that He shed made redemption of sins possible. It also purchased, we might say, the church. For it tells us in Acts 20:28 that He purchased a church with His own blood. And that redemption that was made possible for man by the dying Christ upon the cross was truly applied to our life when we obeyed that gospel. Then everyone that heard the word believed it, repented of their sins, confessed their faith that they believed that Christ was the Son of God, and were baptized into Christ, were added by the Lord to the church. See how these things are linked together? The physical creation of God, eventually the plan for man's redemption in the coming of Jesus to this earth, the wonderful plan being made possible through the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is God's power unto salvation. And then we understand the church being purchased with His own blood. So you see, we understand the redemption that Christ made possible when we hear that glorious gospel proclaimed. We realize, as in John 3:16, so it is in other passages, that God gave His Son, but we must believe on Him. And when we talk about believing on Him, what do we actually believe about Jesus? We believe those things that are found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, I'd like to call that sequence to your attention. It will simply tell you that in the gospel of Christ is the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But when we obey that gospel from our heart, as Paul says the Romans had done in chapter 6 of Romans, we are made free from sin. We become servants of righteousness. And then we enter into the spiritual body of Jesus Christ, which is the church. And I want to underscore this point today as we bring this broadcast to you, that the Lord said, "I will build my church," in Matthew 16:18. The church became a reality, for in Acts 2:47, the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved or were being saved. And those who had been brought from the darkness of sin were a part of the Lord's church. Paul speaks of it to the Colossians as His kingdom when he says in Colossians 1:13, "You have been delivered from the power of darkness and you have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son." And then you see the whole story is not complete until we realize it is possible for man to get to heaven by his obedience to the gospel. Not alone must he obey from his heart that form of doctrine to be made free from sin, but he must serve the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. Romans 12:1 underscores that service when it tells us as Christians that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, and I would understand this to be daily. Truly, it is our reasonable service or our spiritual worship. It must be a life that is holy and acceptable to Almighty God. And so when John came to the wonderful Revelation writing, he spoke about the end of the race in Revelation 22:14, when he said, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city." You know, as we talk to you in this opening broadcast in timely topics for troubled times, we talk about what God hath done. We can see that God from the beginning has been profoundly interested in man. 2 Peter 3:9 should be a hope to all who love the Lord today. For it tells us the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. You see, the Bible does depict to us in a very definite way the picture in words of heaven, but there is also a hell. As Paul put it in Romans 6:23, we find the whole picture to be given to us when he says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It's true that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was not prepared for man. But if the wages for sin is death, then we work our way to hell, or we actually serve the Lord going to heaven. I want to say on the broadcast today that there's a lot of things that can be said about what God has done in this life. But when we think about this on the broadcast, we want to think about those things that can make our life better. I want to suggest to you at the outset of this series that you do a lot of soul searching. If you are a sinner, realize the Lord doesn't want you to stay in that state. He doesn't want you to have the payment for your life of sin as being eternal separation from him. He wants you to come. He wants you to turn from your sin after you've heard the Word of God. He wants you to announce with your mouth that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and this truly will be to the glory of God as well. And he wants you to be baptized into Christ. Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ are bringing you this broadcast that this truth might be firmly established in your mind. Won't you attend the service of the congregation that brings you this broadcast? Tell a friend or neighbor about it and be back with us next time as we continue on with another timely topic.